Nie,
fuck that noise. We're not quitting.
You're listening to the F That Noise podcast featuring Pete Melia.
But we're talking about shit here.
Jamie Klein.
No one wants to smell your dirty fucking shit.
Mike Burdick.
I feel like I'm in group.
Steve Taylor.
Is he getting his balls slapped by some other dude?
And Keith Grieve.
You get a fucking sausage. Fucking sausage!
It is episode 76 of F That Noise.
76.
The spirit of 76.
Bicentennial F That Noise.
Jesus Christ.
Bicentennial boys. Welcome to the program.
Red, right, you.
It has been a fucking long time since we've been together.
Hey, I'm straight centennial.
Well, whatever makes you feel more secure, I guess.
I'm touching my penis right now.
Okay. For you.
It's been a long cavalcade of we'll call it distractions since our last episode.
Yeah.
Not to get too personal with everything, but
call it life.
Yeah, just life. And then I got doused with COVID, which just sucked. It just really fucking sucked. Mm-hmm. I did not have a bad experience compared to what other people are going through, but it was just 5 days of fever and just blah and just blah. So,
Wow.
Yeah, it wasn't bad at all, but it was just annoying. It was more annoying than anything.
Fuck that noise.
Yes, yes. Fuck all of that noise. So
fuck that noise.
That's a podcast.
It was like we had a very small glimmer of hope that maybe all five of us would be in the same room doing this episode. And then that very quickly got kiboshed for a lot of different reasons, including my COVID. But here we are, as we normally are, together but apart. And we're supposed to be talking about favorite SNL skits throughout the years. I'm sure, being so long since we've gotten together, it will eventually devolve into a train wreck. But the train wreck worth listening to.
I mean, I hear you saying that, and I look at your comment here saying it might be a shit show. You just have no confidence.
No, zero. I have none. Zero. I have none.
Nothing.
You know, it was so funny because I was watching the Beatles documentary Get Back. I don't know if anybody had any chance to wrap their
brains
around it.
Thank you for the recommendation. It's been excellent watching that.
I mean, there's been criticisms that there's
check that out.
There's so much, and that there really isn't any kind of form to it, but I think it works.
That's why it's good.
Right, because you're just watching them. You're just watching them organically figure, because at the time, for those of you that don't know the timeline, they hadn't performed live in something like 2 years. And
right.
They had recorded their most previous album, which I believe was the White Album, with overdubs. So they weren't really in the studio together. So this was, they were meeting to get to, they had like 2 weeks, 3 weeks to write songs, learn songs, and then they were going to perform them live on a TV show. Originally, that was the plan.
Right.
Oh, I got to check this out. Wow.
It is awesome. It is really, really
Yeah, they cool. use a bunch of, they use a bunch of footage that they didn't originally use when they did the original documentary back in the late 60s, apparently.
Yeah. The Let It Be sessions.
Who's running it?
Peter Jackson.
But it should be good anyway. I mean, they're gonna stay out of the woods, and they're not gonna do a lot of walking around.
True, which we all know how much Mike loves that.
Yeah,
but
Mike loves it.
But the reason that I brought it the reason I brought it up now was because there was a time when, in the beginning, without giving too much away, where the group is in chaos, and they'd been without a manager for a couple years, and Paul is really trying to keep the group on track, and. Right.
He's getting annoyed with George Harrison.
Wait a minute. Now, are you Keith comparing yourself to Paul McCartney?
No, that was going to be my next statement. I am by no means saying that I am
worse than comparing yourself to God.
I'm not saying that I'm the podcast equivalent of Paul McCartney. I'm just saying that I empathized and I felt for the man who's just trying. He knows that 2 weeks is not enough time for these group of musicians that haven't been around each other for very long to write the songs, learn the songs, and be ready to perform them. And nobody else is fucking motivated to do it. And he's the only one trying to keep everybody on the tracks. And they're all getting pissed at him. And I'm like, I understand what this man is going through.
Absolutely. All right.
It was mostly Harrison and Paul going at it. And it's funny because Ringo doesn't say a fucking word
through the whole thing.
It's just fucking Ringo. He's just happy he's there.
He doesn't see anything. And John Lennon is like basically so sick. He don't give a shit. He's like, let's just see what happens. Let's just play. He's just like so free, and it's awesome.
John Lennon was free.
Really that Asian pussy got him.
And the weird thing is, it's
unreal. That'll happen.
Or rated R or whatever. It's like F bombs and all that.
That'll happen.
It's like it's
got you grill.
It's like rated R, and so it's like got F bombs on a Disney, which is weird.
Yeah, I guess Disney.
It's like
they
can't show Daryl Hannah's ass, but they can say fuck. It's like,
well, here's the thing: is like,
they can't show Daryl Hannah's ass,
right?
God,
but Paul McCartney could do anything. He could kill people on camera. You know, people would. You know, he's such a nice guy.
He could charge $625 a ticket. You know, right. Anything. Yeah.
He'll do. He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, that's true.
He freaking does too. Like,
crazy part. It's insane.
Mallory Bell says that she wrote a song about an octopus. It sounds like there's a story there. Well, which is funny because, like, the whole thing, Ringo doesn't say two shits. And then, like, the third episode is like, oh, look, I wrote Octopus's Garden. And he just sits on the piano and just starts playing it. And George Harrison comes over and starts talking to him about it. I'm like, oh, Ringo's here.
Keith, I might be behind. What? How many parts are there right now?
Three.
So I'm only on the first part is like over 2 hours.
Yeah, they're all 2 hours plus. It's three.
Okay, I'm not even near part three.
You got to get to the meat and bones.
But what there. I like about it, it's like you have to be a music fan though, I think, to appreciate this because it is basically just creating. And albums, they're creating Let It Be. It's amazing.
I think anybody that's
there's
done.
Like there's no cutaways to people outside or other people. It's like it's just them working on this album.
I think if you've done anything creative from start to finish, that if you've taken any, no matter what level, whether you've done it professionally, amateurly, if you've taken anything from a kernel in your brain to something that you put out there, whether it was to your family, whether it was to your town, whether it was to a national audience, if you've done anything from start to finish that to that level, you'll appreciate the process of watching it happen.
I agree.
The other day, I did eat $12 worth of Taco Bell, and then 2 hours later, when I shit, it did bring a tear to my eye.
You know, Steve, you are only known for your bodily functions on this show.
That was start to finish, though, a beautiful moment of my life.
Yeah, it's creativity at its finest. That's
across the universe.
That totally counts.
It's a mystical experience.
I almost took it out of the toilet and brought it to life.
So I highly recommend Get Back.
2.3 Keurig.
So I highly
second that. Sorry. Definitely Get Back.
I highly recommend Get Back, but also on Hulu, there's another documentary called McCartney 321. And that's like six episodes, much shorter episodes. But it's Paul McCartney and Rick Rubin in a recording booth control room. And they're just playing masters. And they're playing with the freaking sliders and they're isolating tracks and isolating vocals. And McCartney's talking about what went into this and why this is there and stuff like that. It's so fucking fascinating to watch.
What album is he talking about? Or just
it starts from they just play randomly really. And it kind of follows the timeline. And then when you get to the later episodes or they start talking about some of McCartney's solo stuff at the end in Wings. But it's really talking about why, like, certain chord progressions are the way they are and, you know, and how they came up with this. And Michelle started out as a song Paul would just kind of bullshit along when he was trying to meet French girls at John Lennon's art school. You know, it was just fun. All those kind of stories I fucking, like, just get jazzed to hear. So
and it's on Hulu.
It's on Hulu. Yeah, McCartney 3-2-1. So
I am a big fan of Mike's documentary Over the Shoulder. That one. I've been waiting for that to come out for a long time.
Well, people
that brought more than a tear. Yeah, that brought more than a tear to my eye.
It wasn't tears on her face either. Definitely...
I think people were people have been waiting for video proof of the FB, but it's locked away in
all over the place.
Yeah.
Why do you think I stay off TikTok? That'd be my first post.
There is that court order too, isn't
there? Yeah, well, there's that. I guess so.
Yeah. Poor Mike.
You will get a court order.
Yeah, right.
And I'll sue your funny face for wrongful prosecution.
That's right, funny face.
So who here
edited Ghostbusters?
That's right.
Wait, that actually got edited in. That was the
infamous edit in.
But that's when they would actually record the lines. Yeah. So he actually said that it wasn't like one of those bad dubs.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they didn't dub it. That's right.
Dan Aykroyd says Wally Wick instead of Dickless. And then Bill Murray's like, yes, this man is some kind of an insect.
Oh, my God.
Those are some of the best. I'll never forget those.
I do not approve.
My favorite edits it was ABC Sunday Night Movie of Stripes. And there's a part where this one guy grabs Bill Murray off the top bunk, and he goes, nice going, asshole. And instead, he pulls him off and goes, nice going, jerk! It made me laugh so hard. And I recorded it and tried to record stop it so you don't record the commercials. I had an old VHS tape. I'd watch that over and over.
Oh my God. That's
amazing.
Nice going. Jerk!
There's Drive of the Week. There it is.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Speaking of,
we start every episode with a Drive of the Week. If you don't know what a drive is, a drive is a line from a movie or TV show said with exceptional velocity and volume. And this segment belongs to Jamie Klein.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, and Michelle Barone's big ass titties. What we have here is fuck it. Who cares? It's probably not her last name anyway.
This took so long to materialize too.
We got a
way to go, A-hole.
We have I already forgot now. Oh yeah. Yeah, we have Drive of the Week. This was actually done. We had this ready to go in like October. So this is from the horror film Dawn of the Dead, not the modern stupid remake with the zombies that run fast. This is the original 1978 George Romero classic, Dawn of the Dead. Here's a scene of a guy who just wants to whip them all.
We did it, didn't we? We whipped them, didn't we?
That's right, Rod.
Didn't we? Didn't we whip them?
Sure did, buddy. We whipped them. We whipped them good.
We whipped them and we got it all!
Sure did.
Yes, he came at that moment.
When a zombie comes along, you must whip him. So.
Oh, Zoom.
That was the Drive of the Week brought to you by Trashman Media. For all the latest DVD, Blu-ray commentary and reviews, head over to TrashmanMedia.com and also on Twitter and Facebook.
And don't forget to check out www.peterclum.com for your latest news and soup.
And new friends. Yeah.
And use transition lenses.
Boner.
All right. So who in this ragtag bunch of merry assholes here suggested this topic of the SNL skits? Was it Mike?
Jamie did it. I thought it was a great topic.
It was your mom. Yeah.
Whoa! Where the fuck did that come from? That's who it was.
It was it was me. I was over at a buddy's house over the weekend with a couple friends, and we were discussing Saturday Night Live, like best skits, most underrated performer, most overrated performer. And I was like, shit, this would be really good for F That Noise. So I came up with the idea. Let's talk about I know Mike and I years ago we went and saw the stage where they shot Saturday Night Live, and it was just awesome seeing that. Just to see like that's where Belushi is, that's where Aykroyd was, that's where Chris Farley was, Dana Carvey, like all the greats were on that stage. So, you know, what do you guys think? I personally, what we were discussing also was that Saturday Night Live, it's always been very political, but it's even more political now. So we watched some older skits, and by older, I mean like not even that old, like Will Ferrell era. And there are some funny ass skits that at the time, I guess I didn't appreciate that. I thought were hilarious. Yeah. You know, any of the whole Alex Trebek thing on Jeopardy?
Yeah, with Sean Connery and fucking Norm MacDonald is.
Oh my god, it's Jack Murder.
What does Norm MacDonald call himself? Not Burt Reynolds. What's the name that he gives himself?
Turd Ferguson. Yeah.
Turd Ferguson. That's right.
Yeah, it's so great. And then there's the one skit with the Blue Oyster Cult. And it's got
Mark Cowbell and
my god, it is
good. Walking in there, and that's so good.
It's so funny. So I was just thinking, like, what is like? I think it's unanimous, right? We all agree pretty much. Eddie Murphy is probably the best thing to come out of Saturday Night Live.
No,
you don't think so? I would say easily.
No,
but now are we talking about comes out of Saturday Night Live or the best performer on the show? Because to me, Bill Murray is the best came out of Saturday Night Live.
Okay, I'll say the best performer on Saturday Night Live.
See, I was always a big fan of Bill Hader.
Ooh, wait,
2005 to 2013.
I like Bill Hader, but
if you watch some of his Saturday Night Live skits, he was fucking genius. Like some of his impressions are fantastic, and he was
great,
absolutely hysterical. I mean, I was always a big fan.
For all of the heyday of, you know, the old time greats that came out of there, Chevy Chase, Bill Murray, Eddie Murphy, when we were teenagers in the 90s, that cast was fucking lights out with Dana Carvey, Mike Myers, Norm MacDonald, Dennis Miller was at the beginning of that.
Chris Farley,
Adam Sandler. Oh my god, all those skits. The motivational speaker by Farley.
Sean Strage.
Oh, Jesus.
Sean Strage was great in that show.
That was Victoria Jackson. I always get those two confused.
Oh, that's right, yeah. I'm thinking about casual sex.
Dude.
So Matt Cooper says, after Phil Hartman died, the show is pretty much unwatchable. Well, I don't know about
that.
I mean, I don't know about that.
Unwatchable, but I do agree with Matt in some extent. It's definitely not as good. Isn't that kind of what everyone says anyway? It depends on their era.
Right. Your era was always the best. It's the same thing with music.
Right.
Today's music sucks.
See, what I've noticed about the modern Saturday Night Live is it's not good all around, but it has its moments. There are some skits. Like there was one of the ones that I had in the running for my favorite was The Rock was on and he did Most Evil Inventions Ever, where... Or there was like a most evil invention contest between these mad scientists. And like the first one does a shrink ray, next one does a freeze ray, and he creates a child molesting robot. And it's absolutely hysterical. Like the fucking skit is great. And it was like the rest of the show. I saw the rest of the show and it was okay. You know, there were a couple funny moments, but that one skit was like fucking insanity.
I think the funniest thing that they've done in a long time on Saturday Night Live is what they do with Weekend Update when they write each other's jokes and they try to make them.
Fucking great.
That's very funny.
Oh, man.
I never knew about that until recently when my buddies.
Oh, my God. Some of the shit he said, they say too, it's like, holy fuck, dude. Yeah. How do you get away with some of that shit?
That's definitely one of my go-tos if like I'm in a bad mood and I want to feel better. I go to that. I can always laugh. Those two just because they're having so much fun themselves doing it. Like they're just, you know, they're just having a blast at, you know, together.
That makes it enjoyable.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, Weekend Update is the best part of that show, like consistently of the modern show.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it depends who's hosting. And there's always that period before you, like, when you're used to the other guy, like, you're used to Dennis Miller forever, and then someone else comes on, you end up liking him in retrospect, but you don't like him forever, so it really is a huge, you know.
But, like, do they have still, because I don't watch it nowadays, not because I'm anti, I just am not usually thinking, oh, it's Saturday night, I should check out Saturday Night Live. Do they still have running skits like Church Chat would go on like every month or so. You'd get a new episode. You get a new one of that. Wayne's World.
Question. I don't know.
Wayne's World.
Was yeah.
That really?
Is there a recurring skit?
Well, they reoccur over the politics. It's not so much like a character, like a church lady, but like Alec Baldwin's Donald Trump impression was going on like 2 years.
Yeah.
And they would have a regular cast of people that whether they were cast members or not, or ex cast, they'd come in and they'd be part of it whenever they needed them. So you guys, yeah.
No, they weren't, Mike.
No. You know what? You know what?
Just shut up, Mike.
I just gotta. I gotta say, I apologize to everybody for you know making that go as long
this
as it
is
did.
The apology episode.
Yeah,
I gotta say though, Jamie, when you brought this up as a topic, I went back and I went on YouTube and I rewatched a ton of old skits, and the one that stands out is from the old crew that I think is by far the best, and that's the Word Association with Chevy God. Chase and Richard Pryor.
Oh my God, we were just talking about that.
That is Jack Murder.
That thing is so funny, so good.
Yeah,
that is pure Richard Pryor just in, because Chevy Chase really didn't do shit. Richard Pryor's just face and the way he gets mad. It's like,
oh, it's murder.
Oh my God,
no.
Pryor was the best.
But going back to Mike's.
Going back
to Mike's take on politics, though, I mean, Saturday Night Live has always hammered the politics, whether it was Dana Carvey doing George Bush, whether Daryl Hammond doing Bill Clinton. You know, it's always been political, and, you know, you get a character that's so much fun to mock, like Donald Trump. It's the gift that keeps on giving. You just keep going to that.
Well, that's the thing, too, is politics used to be, like, really boring. You cannot say it's boring now. Like, it's pretty much, you watch, I'll turn on the news, and I almost laugh just at the real shit. Yeah. So it's really easy. Like, I think it's a lot easier to make fun of politics now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Jamie, your wife said dick in a box. That was a fucking hilarious skit.
No, she wants sex after.
Okay, sorry. Dave.
That's romantic.
Dave,
romantic.
David. Right. Dave Bell says Aerosmith on Wayne's World.
Oh, that's classic.
Yeah,
that's classic.
I don't know. I just can't get beyond John Belushi is to me the all time best thing that ever came out of that show.
Yeah.
Do you remember the last voyage of Star Trek Enterprise?
Oh my god!
So good.
Yeah.
When he takes Spock's ears and he fucking my ears.
He was just so talented. And he was just so crazy. He'd try anything. You know.
Yeah.
I think my favorite is still, they don't actually play it anymore. I think they censored it out, but they had the Luck of the Irish that he did on.
Oh, that's Mike. Remember how murdered we were? We watched that at my year old house. We were in the basement. We watched that. We had to rewind it a couple times. Belushi does this flip out and then
he shoots forward and then just throws himself off.
Yeah.
Like 100 miles.
And when he's starting to go off, doesn't he like raise his hand to Jane Curtin like he's gonna smack her?
No, he doesn't even. It's not even like his hand's up there, but it's not. It's his voice because he screams at her and then he comes back and then he screams at her again, and you know she'll go back and say she was intimidated now, but I think she was playing off him. I think the two of them were really, it was good.
Another one I haven't seen in a while is the Dan Aykroyd where he calls her an ignorant slut. That's so I'm wondering if that's been canceled out too, because I haven't seen that fucking forever.
Well, that's the problem. I went back and I watched a bunch of things they had on Peacock, the network, and I have it through work. And they too. they've been cutting it out. They've been cutting out a lot of stuff. Is a point.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the '80s stuff that we grew up with, and I remember, it's not there anymore.
Oh God, it's a kick killer.
I was trying to find the right time to insert it, and Mike paused, and I hit the button, and just as I clicked it, I looked up and I saw Jamie drinking. I was like, "Oh, two for one!" He's gonna shut that shit out.
Oh my God!
It's fucking tough.
So Mallory Bell also brings up the Chippendale dancers, Patrick Swayze, and
that was fucking Farley. You know, Farley did not want to do that skit. He did not want to do that.
Yeah, he like had like issues over making fun of his weight really like that, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When Jamie talked about we went and saw the stage, there's three main stages, and then there's a bunch they use the floor. So, like, one of the three main stages, they'd always have, like, the house scenes and everything. They deemed it the Chris Farley stage.
Oh, wow.
And basically, they could only have one skit there that week because he was almost certainly going to destroy everything in the set. So they would say that's Farley stage, and then they do everything on the floor.
Oh wow,
it's so great. All right, who do you think is the most? Who do you think is the most overrated performer?
Oh man,
that's tough.
Shit,
man, it's a good
male, female, or both?
I think either one.
Whew. That's a tough one.
Yeah. I'd say, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Mike.
I'd say that Joe Piscopo, because but now
that's such a good.
No, one. at the time they thought he was really good with Eddie Murphy, but it was Murphy holding him up, and I think that people have kind of got it now, but I don't know.
I'm trying.
That's to really tough.
I know Jamie hated Will Ferrell when he was in his prime.
I couldn't stand him, and it's like. Somehow things change. Like, I still can't stand that him and Sherry O'Terry, the
cheerleaders.
Cheerleaders.
I fucking hate that skit. That skit fucking sucks.
Oh, I got it. Jimmy Fallon.
Ah,
I never found him funny. I think Fallon he is the most obnoxious piece of shit.
Wow. That's aggressive. But Steve got aggressive.
I'm not sure that he was. I'm not sure he's ever been really highly rated to be overrated, though.
I mean, he was highly thought of enough to host the Tonight Show. I mean, that's right. Off the coattails of Saturday Night Live.
They coattails of them telling him they didn't want him on the show anymore.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
No, I fucking hate Jimmy Fallon. He's a fucking moron.
The only thing I remember Jimmy Fallon from Saturday Night Live was the cowbell skit because he's losing his shit in the background.
He loses his shit in all the skits.
Yeah, in all of them. That's what sucks about him.
Hmm.
Oh,
stupid.
I'm not a fan of Kristen Wiig. I think she fucking is overrated.
She seems like she did. It's the same character over and over again.
Yeah, it's
different variations on the same character.
Something about her is give her a smack.
She's from Rochester. Yeah.
No, I hear you on that.
She's from Rochester originally, I guess. So Mike hates her.
I heard
too.
Yeah. Oh, sick.
when I don't know what Keith's talking about, I'm just gonna start. Yeah, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Oh, Jesus. How about a host? Who's everyone's favorite, like, guest host?
Favorite?
Oof.
That's it. You know,
I mean, it's always good when Steve Martin's on. It's always good when Tom Hanks is on.
Yeah. I like those guys. I love whenever they have...
Mike, you like Paul Simon.
I do like Paul Simon. He's a good guy.
I like when the...
Christopher Walken, whenever he's on, it's great. I love the way Christopher Walken's in a sketch, and you'll like look, and he'll be like looking at the monitor clearly, and just reading the whole thing. That's what he did in Cowbell, I think. I think he was looking at.
Like, oh, he's totally looking to the side the whole time.
He's like, oh, he's like, I got a yearning
for more cowbell. I got a fever, and the only cure
is gonna break
is more cowbell. and the funniest thing is freaking Will Ferrell in that shirt that's three sizes too small.
That's
just freaking banging the shit out of that. But
that's the part that weirded on me with Will Ferrell is all of his skits turned into just him fucking naked.
Really? Yeah, it's like that's how it was with old school.
It's like it's funny at first, and then you're like, all right, Jesus Christ, he's fat and he's got fucking hair all of his belly. It's just fucking
hey. There's no reason to, you know.
I got hair on my belly, and it's fucking gigantic. But it's like Jesus Christ, I don't need to see his ass again.
But
I don't need to see fucking.
You weren't anti Will Ferrell like Jamie
from
was.
Laughs at Your Four Winds.
I was not very pro Will Ferrell on Saturday Night Live. I only became pro Will Ferrell after Zoolander. Anchorman.
Oh, I thought Zoolander.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. That was.
But then it went back downhill again because he had like a brief stint of some funny movies. Like Anchorman and Step Brothers.
Yeah.
And then it just fucking went to shit again. And he hasn't made anything that I've found enjoyable in forever.
Did you watch that terrible one with him and Julie Louise Dreyfus called Downhill?
No,
James. Oh, you watched it? Did Michelle make you watch it?
That turd.
Michelle make you watch it?
No, I think I recorded him. I was like, oh, this might be something we can both watch together. And we just sat there completely straight.
Let me tell you something. I took a bullet for the team because my son wanted to watch this, but it was the biggest. I knew it was going to be a giant piece of shit going.
Don't tell me Watson and Holmes.
Oh, no. What's that? Watson and Holmes. What's that? Anyway,
that was a Will Ferrell, John C. Riley movie. That's terrible. Riley,
oh, I think I started watching like 10 minutes of that and was like, what the fuck is this anyway? No. Home Sweet Home Alone.
Oh, we watched that.
That's the fourth Home Alone movie now that just came out.
Yeah. It was fucking terrible.
It was awful. It was.
Someone's back in it, right? Or
I think Roger Anderson right now will go, he's gay, yo.
Yeah, no, seriously. It was bad. It was bad. Yeah, no, so here's the plot, okay? Boy whose family is coming over to the house before they leave for a cross global vacation gets annoyed with his family, and so he sleeps in the car, and they magically forget about him. Go figure. It sounds so original, doesn't it? But the MacGuffin is that there's a rare doll. Okay, so this little boy and his mother were driving home, and he's got to take a piss. So he can't make it home. So they pull into this open house for a couple that's selling their house, and he goes to use the bathroom, and they start talking with the couple that lives there about this doll and how it's weird and unique or whatnot. And then the boy and his mother leave, and then the couple realize that the doll is missing. And it's worth a fortune and can answer all of their financial troubles, and they don't have to sell the house that they raise their kids in. So they break into this million dollar house, it looks like, this gorgeous house, where this kid happens to be left alone because they have to find the doll. It's because they have to sell it on eBay so they can save their house. That's the plot. Terrible. It's awful.
That's really bad. It's on Disney Plus.
And the worst part about it is it all comes to a head, and like the parents get caught by the other parents or whatnot, and they all forget about it. They all, oh, I understand. You just got to pay for my house that's all wrecked. It's awful.
Sounds like it came to a Fumestock head.
No, it's awful. it was just awful.
I don't know what the hell is going on right now.
Yeah, no, we went from Saturday Night Live to Home Sweet Home Alone. That's my fault.
I'm just saying.
So most overrated performer, I say Kristen Frigg.
I say Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon.
Probably David Spade.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Mike came out with a hatred.
Mike does not like a Spade.
Actually, on the actual show, I agree with Mike. He was not the best on Saturday Night Live.
Well, what was he famous for on Saturday Night Live? Hollywood Minute, right? And bye-bye.
Which he only had one good line, and that's, look, kids, a falling star with Eddie Murphy. That was the only good thing he ever said in it.
Yeah. He did a one skit with him and Sean Penn getting tattoos.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was funny.
I never saw that one.
But he was known for that, the receptionist that would say, and fucking bye-bye. Push people off.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, that was it. That was his big.
Oh, the flight attendant, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, bye-bye. So, bye-bye. Yeah,
fucking Spade.
Yeah, he's got like one. He's got like one club in his bag. His thing. Doesn't matter whether he's on Saturday Night Live or talk radio or Tommy Boy. He's got like one thing he does, and then everybody around him is supposed to be funny.
Wow!
You just made me think of a great Artie Lang was talking at when after Norm MacDonald died. He was at a party and. Norm MacDonald, Artie Lang walked up to Norm MacDonald and said, hey, Chris Farley just went in a bathroom with David Spade. And Norm MacDonald said, Jesus, I hope he's fucking high. Because he goes, you only go in the bathroom with Andy Dick. He goes, you only go in the bathroom with Andy Dick for two things. One of them is drugs and the other one we don't want to talk about.
Holy shit.
So Norm says, oh, I hope he's fucking high.
All right, Pete, who do you think is most overrated?
Jamie did not want that story to go on.
No.
I absolutely no idea at all. I don't know. To be honest with you, I never really watched a Saturday Night Live much.
Really?
Yeah. I kind of suck sometimes, you know? no, it's true. This is one of those times for sure. Like, Saturday Night Live knowledge is very low. Like, I know some of the top skits, but Other than that, I was never all that into it. Gotta be honest.
Yeah, like
so most overrated. Whoever the hell is doing that show now, I would throw the whole cast overboard with that probably. I'm giving myself a 70% probability that I'm right about that. I've never seen any of it before.
Is it
that's a big cast too? When the new episodes are on, it's like featuring and it goes on forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he goes, and also, and then it goes on for even more.
It's what is the distinction there for the featuring? Is it that they're also writers on the show, or like why are they featuring?
I have no idea. That's a good question.
Is it only
maybe they're not under contract, or
maybe yeah.
is it
more like freelance?
You think it's
beginners or something? I don't know.
You think it's only still on TV simply because it's Saturday Night Live? I mean, like it's become an institution.
They have nothing to put on it stronger.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, as long as they have that, like that's why like they when Johnny Carson started he started wanting more time off. And that's why they had this stuff. That's why they put this show on here. They needed something that would hold better than a Carson show.
So. It's still got a pretty big cult following. Like there's still a lot of people that watch it.
In the 80s, like the Julie Louis-Dreyfus times. The reason why it was another reason why it was so bad in the ratings is because if you remember, WWF did Saturday Night Wrestling,
yep.
And then also American Gladiators used to be on at like midnight on Saturdays. Oh, like yeah. When American Gladiators first came out, it was like late night on Saturdays.
Yeah,
and that was during the mid 80s, and that was both those were more popular than Saturday Night Live was at that point.
Yeah, I remember once in a while it'd be like the wrestling event.
I fucking loved watching wrestling fucking Saturday nights. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, what it's was still it one of the again? Best things. Saturday night's main event.
That's
yeah. Right. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
It's still one of the best shows they've ever put on.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
I remember, clearly remember watching it. Like Hulk Hogan got injured, right? And so they're supposedly he's at the hospital and they're talking about it. I took this very seriously. A 9-year-old kid. Completely stunned that Hulk Hogan's in the hospital. The next day, my dad and I are at Hagedorn's Sunday getting the paper. And I'm, Dad, I need the sports section. He goes, sports? You always look at the TV guide and the comics and all that stuff. And I'm like, looking through the sports section, like, no, Dad, Hulk Hogan last night got injured and blah, blah, blah. My dad's like, Jamie, it's all fake. It's all fake. And he's like, explain, like, no, they were literally at the hospital. He really got hurt. My dad's like, okay, all right.
You're our target demographic for sure.
Yeah, I can't find anywhere.
Oh, I just thought of most overrated, Chris Kattan.
Oh, definitely.
Definitely
up there.
Never laughed at that motherfucker.
He did one thing I thought was funny, and that was the one with the like he played a little kid who couldn't chew his food, so someone had to spit the food in his mouth. It was so fucking gross. It's so disgusting, but it made me laugh.
You know what we haven't talked about is the commercials. All the fucking classic commercials.
Oh, Mr. Bill and all that shit?
Well, and then I'm refreshing my memory, and the Phil Hartman ad for Colon Blow.
Oh, yeah.
And then they had the one where the Sandler and Farley are like the gay bar or the gay pool. You know,
that was Schlitz Gay.
Easily the funniest. That was one yes. of the funniest.
I forgot all about that.
Yes. And I'm surprised that's viewable. I bet they've taken that down.
I'm sure.
Well, it's awfully pro gay. So.
Oh, I fucking forgot about that, Mike. That is my favorite commercial by far.
That is easily my favorite commercial.
Then there, but it, back in the day is Little Chocolate Donuts is still one of my favorites too.
Oh yeah,
I brought that up recently.
Yeah,
the pole vaulting.
Would you consider this? Because I think it was filmed in show, but the Bass-O-Matic 2000 with Dan Aykroyd, who's blending the bass.
It's hard to say. That is funny as hell. It's so gross, but yeah, he did that. It wasn't really a commercial.
Yeah, I think it was a commercial, funny. Like in.
Yeah.
During the show.
What about like other like not just commercials, like anything that they taped. And that live show, like skits, vignettes, all this kind of stuff. Do you have one that stands out as your favorite? I definitely do.
Yes, Eddie Murphy is in white.
Oh, that's so great! Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Easily.
When I realized that when white people are together, They give each other things for free.
Oh my God. It is so hilarious. Didn't we? I think that's one of my favorites.
That's a great one. Can we whip
them? I was always a fan of the Lonely Island Boys. Is that what they're called? The Andy Samberg songs. And they had the Jack Sparrow one with Michael Bolton. That's one of my favorites. It's pretty fucking funny where they have Michael Bolton come in to sing like the tagline in the song that they wrote, but his tagline that he wrote because he just watched Pirates of the Caribbean was all about Jack Sparrow. And it's fucking absolute murder.
Paul Wilcox comments, clown penis dot fart was a good commercial.
I don't remember that one.
I don't know what that means.
I think that was in the later seasons.
Alec Baldwin.
There's that fucking Seven one with Belushi where he's an old man visiting all the gravesites.
That's a great one. It's
weird.
It's weird now that you know he went first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alec Baldwin talking about his sweaty balls.
That's great.
That's probably one of my favorite skits. That's definitely up there. Mm. I would definitely put that in my probably top three, if not probably number one. Mm. I that is hilarious.
Also the Joe Pesci show when Pesci and De Niro come on.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember he just went off him on Sinead O'Connor.
Fucking Pesci gets a bat and just starts beating the shit out of him.
Like the real De Niro and Pesci show up and they beat the shit out of the guys doing their impressions.
Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood, Eddie Murphy.
Yes. Classic. Yeah, anything with Eddie Murphy. Like you watch that Best of Eddie Murphy.
Fucking funny. The one he did was last year. God. Or a year before he was on during the holidays.
Yeah.
Holy fuck, that was funny.
That was great. Now wait a minute. Is in terms of comeback show, which is the stronger comeback show, Eddie Murphy or Adam Sandler?
When Eddie Murphy. I'm gonna say Eddie Murphy only because I didn't see the Adam Sandler one.
Yeah.
Okay. Because the
I'm gonna say Eddie Murphy just because Adam Sandler is kind of annoying to me in a lot of things. Where Eddie Murphy was just funny as hell. Hmm.
The best comeback episode was when Norm Macdonald got asked to host after being fired for making fun of O.J. Simpson.
And then he made fun of him in the monologue.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was funny. And he made fun of O.J. for a second in the monologue.
Oh, that's hilarious. Good for him.
Paul Wilcox.
I fucking love that.
Paul Wilcox comments about the clown penis.fart. The skit was, it was a bank that waited too long to register a URL, so clown penis.fart was all that was left.
Oh, Sue.
Oh, I thought he was.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
I don't think I saw that either.
I'll have to find that on YouTube. Oh, God.
And then recently, I want to say it was like maybe 5 or 6 years ago, Julie Louis-Dreyfus was on an episode and they did a commercial for Heroin AM. And it was for people who did heroin and it was like the AM version because it was loaded with cocaine and caffeine. So you could do heroin and still go on with your day.
Oh, that's awesome.
Wow. That was pretty fucking funny.
How about best female cast member?
Oh, that's fucking tough.
I gotta go Gilda Radner on that.
It's probably Gilda.
Shicks, I like Jane Curtin a lot. She was very underrated as the straight man.
I never liked her.
Fuck, what the hell? Oh, that is a tough one, man.
Molly Shannon is up there for my most overrated.
Yeah, I can see that. Definitely. Now I go Gilda Radner easily.
I mean,
Gilda, I think Kate McKinnon is pretty damn good.
She's great with her impersonations.
She does, but she's also got, like, I think to me the best sketch comedy has to do with energy. And she's another one that just is, like, willing to just go freaking crazy.
Yeah.
Which I love.
I don't know. That's a tough one. It's tough to go against Gilda Radner just because she was.
I don't know if you
Rosanna Dana is like one of the most classic characters in that show.
So funny. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you could go higher than her, but it's really just a question of second place.
I mean, people love Tina Fey.
Yeah. But she's Tina a better Chow. Writer. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I liked her Sarah Palin. That was good. But then if you watch, like, when she was on Weekend Update and all that, I just never was like really that into that.
Yeah. I prefer Tina Chow.
That's right, you do.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
Chow.
Chow. Silverstein.
No, but in going through and watching a lot of these, one of my favorite hosts who is very underrated with some of his skits was Jonah Hill. If you look up some of the shit he's done on that show, there was one, Brutus, where he taught a monkey how to talk. And when they start interviewing the monkey talks about how he fucks all the animals in the lab. And it is absolutely just the way Jonah Hill kind of plays it off is fucking genius. But he's been in a lot of things that I actually found quite funny.
That's funny. I love the story that Dave Grohl talks about. Foo Fighters were on and Christopher Walken was hosting. And so he pulls Dave Grohl aside and a very serious question. He says, is the accent on the Foo or the Fighters? Is it Foo Fighters or Foo Fighters? And all I can hear is Christopher Walken saying that over and over again in my head. So now every time they're on the radio, all I hear is my version of Christopher Walken saying Foo Fighters on Saturday Night Live.
No, it is, Keith.
It is.
Just fucking don't believe it.
Yeah, I don't know what to believe anymore.
I haven't believed a single word from you fucks all night. It's just been a farce. A
lot of shit coming out.
Bunch of Pinocchios.
A lot of shit coming out.
My nose is the only big thing on my body, Jamie. I'm proud of it.
Oh.
Do you guys remember an episode that was like funny from start to finish? Like, what's your favorite like funny episode from start to finish is?
I don't even know if I could pick one of those because I don't even watch the full episodes. I watch the clips on YouTube the next day.
Yeah,
I can't
definitely
even.
Definitely not the Steven Seagal episode.
No.
You know what? That was almost as entertaining. So it was like watching a fucking train wreck as a
God. Steven Seagal
in front of your face.
Steven Seagal, like after Marked for Death or whatever, like back in those days.
No, it was more like after Under Siege 2.
Oh shit! I remember he was on an episode and Rob Schneider was the copy guy making copies, and it was Nico.
Well, they
Nico Nader.
They had to
Nico and
Steven they had to
Seagal,
rewrite Hans and Franz.
Yeah, because he wouldn't say that Arnold could kick his ass or something.
No, he just didn't want to go with, like, because they're Arnold fans. He didn't want to go along with anything. And he said, I wish Arnold was right here right now. I'd kick his ass. He's, like, coming apart already.
He's fucking such an idiot.
He sucks.
I love the South Park where they make fun of him. There was a body shaming episode, and they have him just come out with his fucking hair, like, melting down his head.
His face is huge.
Starts crying.
Did anyone check out that South Park Thanksgiving special they did?
Oh, after
you have to have Paramount Plus, so I didn't see it.
Sucks because I got fucking HBO Max, which carries all of South Park, but if for some reason they're doing that one special with Paramount Plus, which
that's
makes
just
no fucking sense.
Fucking streaming service.
You might as well go back to cable. You might as well go back to cable at this point. I mean, seriously, to get all the little shit.
It's more expensive now if you want to see everything.
Not as expensive as cable.
I was using Hulu Live.
Is it?
Right?
I
was using Hulu Live, so you got the free channels, and I got the sports package because I still want the NFL Red Zone on Sundays, and that was going to go up to $80 a month just for that.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, cable's fucking ridiculous.
And it's the same as cable. It's the same now. And now I also want a Showtime subscription for when Billions comes back because that's my thing, and then
that's right.
It's on another channel. It's on like Hulu or something.
And then what?
Billions.
Well, they may be playing reruns on somewhere else, but the new series is coming out. Well, it was only on Showtime. But then, like, if you want The Office, you got to have a Peacock subscription, and it just gets too fucking blah.
It's not even half what I was paying before, though.
Comcast is another rape job.
No,
which ones do you have?
Now I have almost everything, although I don't pay for HBO Max, but I have. We got it through somebody.
Oh, scandalous!
So
that's
everything else.
That's why we have Hulu.
Yeah.
Do the same thing. I only have Amazon Prime to shit out of it. I got Netflix. And Hulu and Disney Plus.
Which Amazon, they have not put out. Like, the only thing that I've enjoyed on that so far is The Boys.
Yeah, you would like that, wouldn't you?
Really? Nah, that show's fantastic. I like that show too.
That show's fucking great.
I don't.
One of the most violent things I've ever seen.
Amazon Prime's just good for movies.
Yeah.
Just watch. There's a shitload of movies on that.
There was one that I saw. I told you about it, Jamie, when you were texting while you were home briefly. Called Parkland. Did you, anybody else seen this? Apparently, it's like 5 years old, and I just heard about it now. But it's about what happened. It's around the JFK assassination, but it's not about the assassination. Yeah, Mike doesn't give a shit. He's fucking eating.
Carpet.
Fuck your movie, Keith. I'm hungry. There you go.
Reckon.
I wanted you to drop that shit all over your sweatshirt so fucking bad. Right then. Oh my god. I wanted you to just fucking wear that shit.
Oh, dip it in ketchup and drop it all over the place.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Where's
tell your story, Keith.
Tell your story. Parkland was on Amazon.
Yeah, it was Prime. It was on Prime, but it's about what happened at the hospital more so.
That's Mike's version of Houdini.
Ooh, carpet in here.
Oh, he's carving at the fuck.
Oh, makes me hungry now.
Yeah.
Oh, I know, man. Dude. I'm so hungry now.
Can't wreck it.
Right. Let's eat pussy.
Okay. And on that note.
Good. Good. That's what women's pussies are. Good.
Fur burgers.
This has been episode 76 of F That Noise.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to cut this shit right before it devolves into a train wreck. Hopefully see you next week, folks.
Yeah.
FThatNoisePod.com for all of the insanity.
They can't hear you.
Yes, they can. FThatNoisePod.com, FThatNoisePod.com, FThatNoisePod.com.
Cunts.
That's pretty much it.
We whipped them and we got it all!
I love pussy holes.
Oh, very well timed cunts, Jamie.
That was excellent. Couldn't time that better. That's good.
Rape.
Holy shit.
That too, you know.